You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen. You are officially everybody on the couch. Right here on LA Talk Radio. Welcome. And this is the place where you can find out the psychological spin on people in the news and get help with some of your own problems. And of course, I bring you the latest information from experts who focus on helping you feel better. And you don't want to miss today's show because you're going to find out how your mind works. Let me ask you something out there, guys. Why do you think we hold on to certain fears and addictions and problems? How can we change our minds to rid ourselves of like negative thoughts and some of those really bad habits? You know, you want to stop those bad habits, but you just can't. Well, you really can. It's true. My special guest today is going to help you with that. Now, I encourage you guys to call in if you have a question or comment. The number here live is 323-203-0815. That's the number, 323-203-0815. Or, of course, if you're a little shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me at docmichelle, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Well, let's bring her in via phone, of course. My guest today is Ella Begelfour. I've known her for years, and she's the real deal. She's an experienced, licensed marriage and family therapist, psychotherapist, professional hypnotist also, and she studied for so many years. She is fluent in Russian. This woman is one of the smartest women I've ever met, and also she's a Reiki master. Hey, thank you so much for being on the show today, Ella. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, it's always nice to have you here. You know, you've helped so many people for such a long time, so I really appreciate it. God, I think we've known each other for over 12 years now. It's been maybe over that, huh? Oh,
yes, absolutely.
Well, you know,
at least 12 years,
yeah,
I would say.
I'm thinking, yeah. You know, there's a lot of people out there who really want to know a lot about regaining peace. You know, I think one of the most common issues probably that you hear as well, Ella, and I hear, is how can I get peace? How can I get emotional stability back into my life? How do you reach out and help people to do that?
Well, it sounds a little funny, but the easiest thing that you can do is learn how to breathe.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that when they're stressed, when they're anxious, their breathing pattern changes and their brain does not get enough oxygen. So just by pausing and putting your life on hold just for a couple of minutes and staring at one spot, because when we look at one spot, we have a tendency, we cannot have a chaotic thought. That's a physiological change that is happening with us. By staring at one spot, we cannot have our thoughts all over the place. Mm-hmm. So stay at one thought and just take a couple of really deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And even just by doing such a simple exercise will help you to calm down and relax.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so that's a good start.
That's a great start. No, it really is. It just helps people focus, you know. And that's really, you know, much like the beginning of trying to meditate, which is really a healthy thing to do. And a lot of people think it's very difficult or it involves mantras or, you know, focus, focus. I have to keep my mind but that's not really the truth, is it? I think it's just...
No, actually, everything, I believe that everything in life has to be simple. If it is complicated, it's not good in my books. So just by centering, focusing, and breathing will take you to the place where you would relax and feel better.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. You know, it just makes sense. And I think when you tell people, Ella, that it's all about simplicity, and if it gets too difficult, that's not good. I think that takes a lot of pressure off people, too, huh?
It does. Yeah. And you will be surprised, but a lot of people find breathing slowly, deeply, very difficult.
Yes.
They report being lightheaded. They say that they don't have enough time to do the breathing exercise. So even breathing, something as simple, sounds difficult for a lot of people.
Well, it does. And it is. Especially, you know, people who have a lot of stress and panic. You know, Ella, I had a patient a while back who has severe anxiety, and along with her panic symptoms. You know, she worries about everything. I mean, this poor thing, she's always thinking, what if this goes wrong, or what if I get into a car accident? You know, those kinds of thoughts. So,
right.
They're, you know, it's more of a what we call, as you know, this generalized anxiety disorder. Always working on something in your mind. You know, I'm trying to help her on ways she can change her thoughts, you know, using the cognitive therapy. But, you know, the breathing is really a big thing, and muscle relaxation, which brings me to one of your specialties, and that's hypnosis. And for this client that I'm talking about, I thought about hypnotherapy as a complementary, you know, therapy. When I brought it up to her, she said, no, you know, I don't want anybody to take control of my mind and my body.
Yes.
So this kind of... Heard
it so many times before.
This made me realize that, you know, she doesn't really know about the real deal about hypnotherapy, but, you know, that also she kind of has a lot of control issues because she doesn't want anyone else taking control. But she's so wrong about that. So can you explain in depth what hypnotherapy is all about, just to clear up some of these fears that people have?
Absolutely. First of all, hypnosis is... one of the most ancient and respected medical practices known to men. And hypnosis exists for centuries because it is so natural, safe, and simple human process that all of us do every day. And we often do it without even realizing it. If we meditate, if we zone out, whether you're playing golf, or whether you are driving the car without realizing what street you pass because your thoughts are somewhere else. Hmm. Zoning out, that's the state of hypnosis. It's when you're choosing to focus on one thing and ignore everything else. And yet while you're driving, even though you don't know what street you're passing, you will always stop on the red light and you will always make the right turn to get to where you're going.
Yes.
So this can be compared with a light trance. And to help your patient that you had, hypnosis is being in control, because no matter what the hypnotherapist wants to do with you, he or she will not be able to do it without your permission, without the patient's permission.
Yes.
So it is very safe, it is very comfortable, and it is sort of a meditative state.
Yes.
Where when you're relaxed, there is no judgment, there is no controlling, it's just pure relaxation. And when we are relaxed, and we even know that on a physical level, when the muscles are relaxed, it feels so much better. Mm-hmm. So when your mind is open and relaxed, you're more suggestible.
Yeah.
And whatever hypnotherapist suggests to you will be taken in a very positive way, whether it's relieving the stress or smoking, whatever suggestions the hypnotherapist will give you will be taken in with your permission only.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, a lot of old hypnotherapy promotional shows and information that was put out in the media. You know, they always had that circle that went around and around, and we're going to take control, you know, in all the movie. The media just,
yes, you know, authoritative style.
Right, has really messed up that whole idea. And people fear that they're going to be quacking like ducks and or clucking
exactly,
like chickens, you know. But that's
no, that's only a myth, and probably people who are interested in going for a hypnotherapy session would be advisable to read a little bit more about it. But basically, it's a state of meditation where you can interrupt the trance at any time by opening your eyes or lifting your finger, whatever the agreement is between the patient and the therapist. It is very beautiful and kind, I would say, experience.
I think so. It really is. It's like a mutual agreement and understanding. By the way, you're on LA Talk Radio here, and you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Ella Begelfour. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, professional hypnotherapist. She has studied for many years, and a Reiki master as well, and we'll be talking about that. If you have any questions for Ella or myself, you can call in here live, 323-203-0815. Or if you'd like to email me and just ask a question, not get your voice on the air, you can do so. Doc, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. It'd be great to talk to you. Lovely. You know, talking about an agreement and being with a hypnotherapist, the thing that, really, I mean this, Ella, I've known you for a long time, and the thing that I see about you is you just have a calming presence about you. You're just calm and you're sweet, and I think you make people feel relaxed just generally being in your presence. Do clients or patients have to trust the hypnotherapist before, you know, going under to work on a problem?
Absolutely. That's why I would never do hypnosis in a very first session. It is extremely important to build a rapport and to make sure that your energy matches the client's energy, so both of you are comfortable in each other's presence.
Yeah.
This is extremely important because the client that you're seeing really opens up and trusts you and relaxes in front of you. And how can you do hypnosis if the person feels uncomfortable or cannot relax? So this is usually during the first session, I explain what hypnosis is. We get to know each other. I ask a whole bunch of questions. And then I will ask the client to call me back if they feel comfortable and schedule an appointment for hypnosis.
Can you just briefly explain the process? I mean, I don't want to reveal your secrets, but I mean, you know, how you go about getting someone down. How does that work? And I say down to an alpha brainwave or a theta, which would be great too.
Basically, my secret, I just told you my secret. I will start with the client by focusing on their breathing. And the breathing has to be special. What I do is I train them how to breathe in a way that your body, your brain gets enough oxygen. So the breathing has to be very full and very deep. Usually I recommend breathing in and out through your nose. And the visualization is when you breathe in, visualizing that you are a balloon that needs to get filled with air. So it's abdomen breathing. The air goes in your abdomen, fills you up, and then very gently and slowly gets released through the nose again. So you are in control of your breathing. And basically even challenging yourself, making next breath a little deeper. Opening and that immediately focuses the client and relaxes them. And then during the first session, during the interview, I'm trying to find out what would be the place in nature for the client where he feels very comfortable and relaxed and safe. And this is our gateway to the travels and to different hypnotic experiences through that safe place. So at all the times, the client needs to feel safe and comfortable.
That makes a lot of sense, you know.
What
are some of the most common things that people come into your office to get hypnosis four?
As you mentioned, anxiety is number one. And of course, under anxiety, we have all the bad habits. We have smoking cessation, addictions, different kinds of addictions, stress relief, anger management. Mostly, I would group it all under anxiety.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense. And so the process of hypnotherapy, when they're in that kind of relaxed brain state, which is different from beta or consciousness, which we're always in when we have those, as I call them, crazy thoughts. You know, we all have them, streams of consciousness, or, you know, we're just multitasking in our brain and analyzing and fearing the future and looking at the past, you know. In the alpha or theta stage, is it true that when they're completely relaxed, patients get, you know, messages from the trusted hypnotherapist about, you know, whatever they want to work on, you know, you will no longer feel stressed, things like that? Are they going into the subconscious mind?
Absolutely. Okay. First of all, I call it a mental policeman. So when we are in our regular day-to-day lives, whatever we're doing, we always have this element about us that is critical and judgmental. So I call him mental police.
Ah.
When you are relaxed, that policeman is on vacation. He does not exist. So you're very open to all the suggestions that come your way. Just like you when you're meditating, you're open to whatever comes, whatever images you will see, whatever feelings you will experience. So when we are that open, we are very suggestible.
Yes. Yeah.
So if somebody says to you, you're going to stop, you're going to quit smoking, or you are an ex-smoker, we try to keep it in a present times, you are an ex-smoker, your brain doesn't say, that's not true, I'm still smoking. Mm-hmm. It will accept this suggestion.
Ah.
And the brain starts treating a person under hypnosis as somebody who is an ex-smoker.
Uh-huh.
So we're creating a new habit and new suggestions that get implanted into your subconscious mind. And then when you're back in a wakeful state, mm-hmm. your brain believes that, yeah, I'm an ex-smoker.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
That's right, ex.
That information mm-hmm. is engraved somewhere already.
Yes. And then the more that you work with someone and I don't know what the word is, but suggest or imprint the suggestions that they want to become in their
yes.
subconscious, the more they hear it, the more it just sort of brings it up to the conscious level, and then they start really believing that they are not smokers. Or
the secret is repetition. Brain likes repetition.
Mm.
And I've read in American Scientific Mind that it takes 21 times to change the habit. In other words, do something different 21 times and the habit will be broken.
Isn't that funny?
It's the same with our mind, and it's the same with suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep thinking, I'm an ex-smoker, and you will continue this exercise when you're with the therapist or when you're at home,
mm-hmm.
Going through the meditation or just giving yourself positive affirmations,
right.
Your mind starts believing in it.
That's lovely. Isn't that wonderful?
And the behavior changes.
I guess that guy Sigmund Freud had something there about the subconscious mind, huh?
Yes, indeed, it is.
Yeah, so true. Now, what do you think about hypnotherapists who do, well, not necessarily, we'll talk about past life regression, but there's a lot of people, it came out really popular in the early 90s, late 80s, hypnotherapy treatments for folks who may think that they've been molested or had something traumatic happen to them as a child, but are not sure because they've shoved things down and they can't remember them. So is hypnosis a good way to help people remember things that may have been shoved down into the subconscious?
I wouldn't say that because memories can be very deceptive. But what I would say is that for these kind of people, healing trauma, hypnosis is extremely important. Healing. not remembering. You could have remembered something that was never there because you were a little girl and somebody scared you, and the memory created some monster that was after you, which wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But what's important is the healing process, to go back while you are under hypnosis and healing that trauma in any way that the client will find acceptable. So basically using the words of the client, asking the client what can help, what is it that can heal the trauma. It is not, we're not into the memories. We are how we can fix it, how we can heal it, how can we begin the healing process. Mm-hmm. That's why hypnosis is never used in a court, because memories can be very deceptive.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. You know,
right.
we do fabricate, don't we? We still have a creative mind when we're in those, you know.
And that's again why hypnosis works. We can fabricate anything that we want about our past, and the brain will believe that it's happening. Mm-hmm. We can fabricate anything we want about our future, and brain will follow it.
That makes sense. So all of those scenes in movies where they, let's hypnotize the victim and see if they can remember who, you know, that doesn't fly in court. They just don't use it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And also that old movie that I always thought was cool, but Mila Jovovich or whatever her name is, right?
Yes.
She was in The Fourth Kind where... You know, she was the psychotherapist who was using hypnotherapy on people who were supposedly abducted, and then she was having them recall all... That was a scary movie, having them recall all these, you know, scenes.
I haven't seen that movie, but I'm sure it was.
If you don't like scary movies, Ella, don't see that movie. My husband had to go away on a business trip, and I had seen that movie by myself, and my son was not there, so I was just... Oh, my. I slept with the lights on. I was so scared.
Wow.
That's how much it affected me. By the way, you're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Ella Bagelfort. Now, she is a licensed psychotherapist. She's also studied and worked so many years as a professional hypnotherapist and a Reiki master. And we're going to help. We're going to talk about how that can help people as well and what that's all about. So as a licensed marriage, family therapist, or psychotherapist, what are some of the most common relationship issues that clients come to talk to you about?
Before you even finish that question, communication comes to mind. This is number one. People talk using different languages. They don't understand each other. So if you can take the couple and show them how to talk and how to listen.
Yes.
The world will be a better place.
That makes so much sense. And something that I, and I know you do too, emphasize with couples in their communication is to listen and really try to understand, or as we say sometimes, hear what the other person is saying. But also that we all have our own assumptions, because we're all coming from our own places of hurt, you know, and we have our own stories and our own, you know, feelings about who we are that have been imprinted on us for years. So, you know, it's really difficult to try to, you know, when we really hear someone, we also have to ask ourselves maybe why we're hearing what they have to say as a negative thing, when reality is that they're trying to say something loving or kind to us, but, you know, there's a two-way street. They don't know how quite to express it. They're being as honest as they can, and we're taking things hurtfully or negatively.
Yes. And I think another important thing is to kick the ego out of this relationship. So a lot of times you'll hear couples say, how can he do that to me?
Oh, yeah.
Or how can I be treated this way? Who does he think he is?
Right.
I think it is so much deeper than that. So if we can just let that ego fly out of the window when we're dealing with the relationship and come from the place of compassion and understanding, So asking yourself, not how can he do that to me, what tempted him to react that way?
Yes.
Basically understand the psyche behind the actions and behavior.
Yes. That makes so much sense. It really does. And isn't it hard to work with people to try? I mean, we all have egos. We all, you know, we all need certain things. But, I mean, isn't it difficult sometimes to work with people who really don't understand that you do have to get that ego out of the way, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And another important thing that we forget, a lot of times clients forget, is that each one of us wants one thing only, to be loved.
Yes, yes.
But each one of us wants to feel loved in a different way.
Yes.
So once we understand how each one of us wants to be loved,
yes,
it will be so much easier to proceed with improving the relationship.
Makes so much sense. It's so true. So, it is true. I mean, communication problems are the biggest thing that I see as well, and I agree with you. And, you know, there's also so many other things that we can do as relationship. And you're a specialist in family practice, too. So
right.
Maybe you can share some of the things with listeners out there that you see most prevalent, or the problems you see most prevalent in families that causes family issues.
Generation gap, parents not understanding their children, believing that they know the best what is good for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and again, it is communication, not listening to what the child is saying.
Yes.
So you just let the because parents believe that they know the best.
Right.
So it is extremely important when the family comes to the therapy to start with the child and hear the child, and perhaps the parents, a lot of times they're shocked what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that they hear it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the child or adolescent never feels safe to express it to the parents.
Yes.
But the therapist's office seems to be very safe and protected environment for that information to come out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know what I think a lot of, there's books out there and everything, but we have to get a driver's license, and we have to read up and pass the driver's license, barely. But, they should really have more requirements for people, and I don't mean to become, a big brother country or anything like that, but what I'm saying is there should be more information for parents out there about good parenting and things that are no-nos. And again,
absolutely.
We go back to getting that
ego. I very much agree with you on that.
Yeah. Getting that ego involved, and indulging our own, emotional issues onto our poor little beings that we bring into this world.
Right.
And inappropriate ways of chastising them. And I'm not necessarily even talking about, which is happening in this country all the time, physical abuse and verbal abuse, but other ways that are inappropriate to teach our children, how to become normal or productive citizens, out there in the world when they get older. So it's really important, I think, that maybe you psychotherapists who specialize in family therapy should all get together, or maybe this is your next book, Ella, and have the handbook for parents who really need to think about it before they have children.
I totally hear you. Yeah.
Work on your own issues. Get a lot of your own stuff cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, I know you've seen this too. I'm sure you have, that people think that it's going to help their marriage if they get pregnant. We're having problems, but a child will help. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A child will help bring us together and make us happier. Nope. It only makes more complications and problems, right?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult.
And another thing that I would love to see in the future is making therapy more accessible and affordable for the larger population.
Yes.
As you've mentioned, I do therapy in Russian as well as in English. And there are a lot of people that come to this country that need help, desperately need help.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of them can't afford the therapy because of the way our insurance works and the way we get reimbursed and all the complications with medical insurances. I think it makes it very difficult for them to be able to afford and go for the therapy.
Yes, it's so true. And, you know, a lot of the, in our area, Ella, of Los Angeles, you know, there are a lot of county clinics, which are wonderful for what they are, but we just don't have the funding. And in this state of California, and most other states as well, we just, a lot of times, don't really put our priorities in order as to what's most important. And you're right, there are a lot of people who are in this country, in our county, who really don't get the help that they deserve. And the county services can only do so much. And there's a waiting list. And, you know, I've heard these horrible stories from some of these clients who I've seen who finally have gotten on Medicare, you know, about waiting all day, falling asleep for 6 hours, you know, trying to meet with someone who will help them get a medication of some kind, you know.
Wow.
So very interesting stuff. You're right. I really agree with you. You're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio, if you just tuned in. And my special guest today is Ella Begelfour. She's been on the air many times with me before, and she is a professional hypnotist. She is a licensed psychotherapist. She's also a Reiki master, which works with people's energies, and it's real stuff. And there's real science behind it, too. And we're going to talk about that. Ella, we have an email here on the docmichelle@aol.com, and it's from Jocelyn. She's asking you a question about her marriage situation. Shall we give it a try here?
Sure.
All right. She says, Ella, my husband always criticizes me for not living up to my potential, and he wants me to go back to college so I can become a lawyer. He and I both have good jobs, but I really want to save money to buy a house right now. How would you suggest I tell him to stop criticizing me all the time? And this is from Jocelyn. Okay.
Mm.
That's a tough one.
Yes, that's a tough one. But I think it is important to understand why is he, what is his intent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why does he want her to become, to go back to school?
Mm-hmm.
And go from there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the first question that a trained psychotherapist would ask them if they were sitting on the couch across from you.
Yeah.
You know, is what is your intention? Are you helping her? Are you trying to, you know, help Jocelyn out to...
And a lot of times people project. Maybe this is something that he wants to do. He wants to go back to school and for some reason does not do that. Mm-hmm. So he is trying to promote his wife and ask her to go to school. So it is very difficult to answer that question without meeting the couple and and finding out what's going on there.
Yeah.
But basically, it's important to ask questions. And find out what is behind that the desire to make his wife do something.
Right. And you know, Jocelyn, I think also if you're not feeling that he's being completely honest with you, then that really is the time, you know, to sit down with a psychotherapist or a psychologist and say, what, you know, really we need to talk through this. Maybe we need some guidance in our communication skills so we can really get, you know, to the bottom of what's going on here, because I feel like you're always criticizing me. And, you know, that of course, that's not healthy for any relationship at all. So,
yeah.
As a licensed psychotherapist, Ella, what are some of the words of wisdom that you can give to people who come in to see you and I who are depressed or anxious? Many of them say they feel like they're alone and that other people don't understand them. How would you approach them?
I would say that each one of us is alone.
Mm.
Each portion of us suffers and is happy within ourselves. We have the whole world inside of us.
Yeah.
And I believe that the best thing that we can do is make ourselves happy by going within and discovering who we truly are, mm-hmm. what our hobbies, what makes us feel good. Just basically get to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best advice that I can do, that I can give.
Mm-hmm.
Become observant, stay in the moment, be present, because life is a gift, and we really need to learn how to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, there is no past and no future. All we have is the moment that you're living. Make the best out of this moment.
Mm.
Thinking and dwelling about the past or being afraid, because the fear really is a negative thought about the future.
Yes.
Fear is never in the present.
Mm-hmm.
So if you will not think about the future, if you will not dwell on the past,
mm-hmm.
and just focus on that moment and how beautiful it is,
see
the flowers, the smells,
mm-hmm.
perhaps your life will be simplified and lighter.
Yes. And, it makes a lot of sense. It, like you said earlier, Ella, simple is best. Because,
it is.
I think, and you believe this as well, it all boils down to us, ourselves, within us. And we can't really...
It's a lot of complications for us.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he look at me that way?
Yeah.
He angry at me.
Mm.
Well, if you feel that way, go and ask him.
Mm.
Make it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we make a lot of assumptions
mm-hmm.
that complicate our lives a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know what I see with a lot of, I guess you'd say young adults, and you
yes.
see this as well, because I know we both have young adult
yep.
children.
mm-hmm.
The whole social media, that's a whole, other topic that we can chat about. But I know you see a lot of your young adult clients and also your son's peers. They're always texting and trying to communicate via texting. And they're always trying to analyze what the other person really meant. What, like you just said, what is that girl meaning when she says, "What's up?" Does that mean she,
right.
I think a lot of people who are utilizing texting and online and Facebook and, whoever, and there's professionals, a lot of professionals using LinkedIn, but more for promotional purposes. But all of those social networks sometimes are, it's up to personal interpretation. And you and I know that young adults, well, at least for me, and a lot who I see, aren't as squared away in terms of their ego or their wisdom or their being okay with who they are, their self-esteem, enough to be able to interpret something healthy that's the written word. You know what I'm saying? It's a very difficult time right now for a lot of people who are only communicating via text or through the social medias.
I think only is the key. If they only communicate through social media, then it definitely is making it tough. But we can compare that probably to slow mail in the 19th century, beginning of 20th century. There were a lot of mails sent from one person to another.
Yeah.
And it also left a lot to interpretation. So it's just replaced with social media right now.
Mm-hmm. So I think the key here is just if you have a question, call your friend.
Exactly. Call your friend or text. What do you mean by that? But again, texting will not solve the problem. You still need to, because a lot of information, a lot of times when we communicate, I would say 70% of what we hear is the body language.
Yes.
We can say, "I'm angry at you" in a very loving way and saying, "I love you" in a very angry way.
Exactly.
So the body language, the tone of voice makes a big difference. As you've mentioned before, you said that my voice is calm and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a lot of difference when you communicate with the clients. So when you text, It is just the cold information that comes across without any body language, with no vibrations, and it is harder to understand.
I always suggest
to my clients to be very specific.
Yes.
Where do you want to meet? You know, things like very specific things that will not have a double meaning.
Right.
And that's what text really should be about.
Right. It's so true. And something else important, I have a clip from my Understanding Body Language piece that I've done that quite a few years ago. It's on YouTube right now. There's about 17 clips, I think. But this one's called The Eyes Have It. It's on my, if you want to check it out, guys, it's on my website, talkshowtherapist.com. And it's about how important eye contact is. And so many people, you know, this.
Yes.
We were born with the brains to really interpret someone in order to survive, whether we had to get out of there or fall in love with and procreate the species or whatever, by just simply looking at someone's eyes. And, you know, eyes are so important, too. So it's really important. Very important.
Eyes up the windows of our soul, as I say.
That's so true, Ella. So true. My guest today is Ella Bagelfour here on the couch. And if you have a question, you can call us here, 323-203-0815. If you have any kind of questions also about hypnotherapy, personal problems, whatever, call that number, or you can email me, docmichelle@aol.com, if you would rather not get your voice on the air. Now, Ella, you're also a Reiki master. What is that all about? Can you explain to listeners what that means and how that can help them?
Reiki, again, everything that we do in therapy is to develop our inner wisdom. Mm. Reiki is one of the tools. Mm. It is energy. So helping the client feel their own energy, believing in it, feeling it, it's a natural hands-on healing technique. And Reiki usually, it's made up of two Japanese words, Rei meaning Rei, and Ki is the key.
Hmm, interesting.
So the belief is that there are symbols that attract and draw more energy towards you, and the Reiki, the person who does Reiki is considered to be a channel of the universal energy.
Hmm.
So even if you take two of your hands and put them next to each other,
yes,
with the little gap in between, you will start noticing the warmth coming from one hand, feeling resonating from one hand to another.
Mm-hmm.
This is the energy, the life energy that can be used. It is also called and known as chi.
Yes.
So you can use that energy and with the practice develop and direct that energy to the places that need healing.
Mm. It's so true. You know, and I there's so much in science now about chi, about the validity of energy. And, you know, the old school beginnings of Curlian photography, showing that everything has energy. Plants have energy. You know, everybody and everything in existence here has a certain energy. But, you know, human beings do more so. So there is a lot of scientific evidence for that. Hmm.
Yes, yes.
So in your work, you basically, as you said, you kind of channel the universal energy you get in touch with. And do you bring more positive energy to an individual, or do you pick up what they're thinking or going through, or how does that work, Ella?
Usually you do it when the client requests, either having a headache or very low energy, without touching the person, because touching requires a special license for massage therapists. So you don't need to touch the client. You can just hold your hand really close to the area of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it is a low energy above their head or shoulders and the back, and the patients immediately feel the boost of energy.
Yes, that makes so much sense. It really
does.
Yeah. And of course, just like hypnosis or any other type of therapy in helping someone, you have to sort of let them know who you are so that they can trust you and feel really comfortable with you.
Absolutely, yes. And we do provide the classes, certification, Reiki Level 1, 2, and Reiki Master certification. Usually once or twice a year, we create these workshops where we share the knowledge and practice together.
Yes.
So I do believe that any one of us can become a Reiki practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we share that information, and we're happy to do that.
That's neat. If somebody is going to be working with other people, don't they pretty much, well, I know we do, you and I have had training on sort of cleaning up a lot of our own, as we call it, counter-transference issues. In other words, we have old stuff going on within us, and if we, for instance, see a client who reminds us a lot of our mom, who we may have had issues with, let's say, then we're going to project onto that client, ooh, she looks too much like my mom. Maybe she's like my mom. You know, there's all that subconscious junk going on, so...
With Reiki, you don't need to worry about it because all you are is the channel.
So basically,
you go into your own trance as you as you're working on another client. You don't need to address the issues of she's just like my mom or like my brother. You just go in a meditative state where you invoke the symbols.
Yes.
Are taught on level two. So level one is just something that is done to you. You're
yes.
given that energy and you're told about what Reiki is and how it works. When you go for the Reiki 2 certification, then you're taught these symbols and how to invoke them and use them for your healing. But basically, you are the channel. You don't need to go through any of that stuff that you've just mentioned about projecting or counter-transference. Any of that stuff is not important.
Yes, exactly.
As you're doing healing.
Mm-hmm. Makes so much sense to me. Ella, how can people get in touch with you? Because I know a lot of people are saying, now, I really want to get more about this. I really want to find out more about this. And I would like to contact Ella and check out hypnotherapy. She's in the Los Angeles area, in case you're close or you want to fly in from somewhere and really, you know, work with her. She's been doing it. You've been doing it for corporations as well for way over 20 years, Ella.
Yes, and I also do Skype sessions and FaceTime, so all sorts of media is accepted.
Oh, that's super.
So for the first visit, I would love to see the client in my office, but consecutive sessions can be done over Skype.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So, my phone number, they can reach me at my office number. It's 818-207-1191. Mm-hmm. And also I have a website that explains everything that I do, which is my first and my last name, ellabegelfour.com.
Yes. All right, and I'll have all this information up in the archives tomorrow if you guys want to check it out and contact Ella. As always, a pleasure to have you on the show, Ella. You're such a lovely person, and I think you are gifted in treating others. So thanks again so much for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting, and it was a pleasure.
All right. We'll talk soon. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Again, Ella Begelfour, and I'm going to have that information up for you if you would like to know more about hypnotherapy and also Reiki healing and many other things and MFT, marriage family therapist, you know, help that you have and things like that. I want to remind you guys to check out the Global Alliance for Transformational Entertainment. It is a beautiful thing going on. It's a full day of businesses, charitable organizations will be there. And it's really to help people out with music, transformational, you know, things. It's just examining the role of anyone promoting personal, social, global transformation. And there'll be music, speakers, many professional speakers there. And you can check it out. It's a wonderful thing that's going on. It's called gatecommunity.org. If you want to check it out, it's happening tomorrow here. And one of the founders is Jim Carrey, the actor, and Eckhart Tolle. I mean, these people are amazing, and they have a lot of wonderful things to say. So you might check that out. All right, it's about that time. We got to go. If you have any more questions, of course, you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. I always love hearing from you. Thanks for being on the couch with me. You can stay on if you like. More great shows coming up next with the latest CBS news around the world. Next week, more on how to fix romance and work out some of your own personal issues as well. I know you guys love that stuff. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. A pleasure to be here with you. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in life. Be back next Friday. Have a great day. Bye-bye.